Begin the current and last daf, Masechta Zavot Zarah, daf Ayin Vav. Begin 4 lines down with the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, discussing the halacha of the previous Mishnah, which spoke about different levels of kashrus, of purification, going from a vessel owned from a non-Jew when it's sold to a Jew. So on that asked the Gemara the following contradiction. Ramad le Rav Amram le Rav Sheshes. Rav Amram asked Rav Sheshes the following contradiction. It's not learned in our Mishnah that regarding items that are hashvudin, the spit, which is like you make shish kebab, you have the meat on it, on that the metal piece itself, va'askalo, or the grill, where those are things that are, when they're cooked, they're used on the fire itself. So the Mishnah said, malavnin ba'ur, so they have to be heated up until they get white on the fire itself, which is the most stringent, most severe type of kashering that's required. On that asks the Gemara, va'tanya ba'kadshim, but he says, but we learned in the Mishnah Masech Zvachim regarding kadshim that says, the same items, hashvud, va'askalo, the spit, and the griddle, which were used to roast meat of kadshim on it. Now, we run into a problem over there, although that's not any prohibited item. However, the next day, the meat, when the meat of a carbon can only be eaten for a certain amount of time, the next day, it's what's called nicer. It's the leftovers, the remnants of the carbon, where, because in the grill, in the spittle, you have those bleas, the absorptions of the carbon inside of it. When then, subsequently, the next day, other kachem meat is cooked in the tomorrow, so then the spit is going to be emitting the taste that it absorbed the day before, which are nicer, which are leftover emissions, which are iser, a prohibition of karis. So therefore, it says the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim, what you have to do is magilon b'chamin. You have to do hagala. You have to take those spits and those grills and heat it up in hot water. And that way, kosher it so that the next day when you're using it, it won't have the previous day's nicer bleas inside of it. The difficulty is, the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim says, all you have to do is hagala, which is not as severe as libun, because libun, when you burn it on something hot, it's like burning the vessel, in contrast to hot water, it's only heating it up. So when you have things like shvud ma'askala, to get out those emissions, is it enough with just hagala, like the Mishnah says in Masechta Zvachim? Or like our Mishnah says, you have to do libun, which is to heat it up on a burning hot fire till it gets white. So Amalei, Sir Rav Shesha said to Rav Amram, Amram Bri, my son Amram, Ma'in and kachem, it's the gu'uli of the kachavim. What's the contradiction? What does kachem have to do with the emissions of non-kosher elements, like when one buys from a non-Jew? Hach over here by kachem, when this spit had taken absorptions, had terabola, it's absorbing something that's permitted, where it's a carbon that could be eaten by the kahanim. So therefore, that's why it's enough to kasher it with hagala, with just heating them in hot water. Hasam isurabala, there by the grill that was used by a non-Jew, it absorbed something prohibited, nevela, treifis, things that are prohibited, therefore requires a more severe kashering than of liman. On that Amarava, he asks, but Saif, at the end, ki kapala, what's the difference between the two of them? When both of them are emitting isur kapala, it's emitting a prohibition, whether like by the non-kosher food of the non-Jew, where it has non-kosher elements, and here by the kachem, it's emitting nicer. So who cares what it was when they took it in, but ultimately when it's coming out, it's the same issue, so why should we differentiate? To get out the emissions, what does it require? Libun or just hagala? So Elam Rava, rather, he gives a different interpretation. It says, my hagala nami. What does the Mishnah mean there, Masechta Zvachim, that it says that all you have to do is hagala? It means shatifa umarika. It means rinsing out and scouring it. In other words, that the truth is, says Rava, to get out the prohibition from the spittle, from the spit and the griddle, definitely, as it says in our Mishnah, you need to do liban. Because like any absorption, like we said, however it took it in, that's how you have to get it out. Since it's heated up with the prohibited item on the fire. So to get it out also requires liban. However, there's an additional commandment from Hashem regarding kachem that you also have to do, like it says in the pasuk, "Umark v'shatav b'mayim." You have to scour and wash it out in water. In other words, just like there's a gzeis hakasav that says that regarding purification process, that you have to spray from the blood on the garment, that you have to wash it in the place where it's sanctified, and so you have to break the earthenware vessel in the place where it's holy, which are gzeis hakasav, they're not part of the primary halacha. So to over here, marikin shtifa is required, but you're right, they both require liban. It's just that the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim is adding on another halacha when it says hagala min shtifa marika. And that Amalei Abaye asked in Rava, mi dami? Can you compare the two? In other words, can you call marika and shtifa what you're saying the Mishnah means over there when it says hagala? But marika or shtifa b'tzayin, the halacha that we know regarding kachim, when you want to purify the vessel that was used for kachim, scouring and washing it out is done with cold water. Hagala b'chamin. In contrast, Hagala, whenever it says Hagala, it means hot water, because that's the word Gi'ul means. It means that it forces it to spit out what the vessel absorbed. That's only with hot. Whereas Marika and Shtifa is done with cold, as the Gemara said in Sechlis Vachem, that's Sadiq Vam Mabez. So how could you say what the Mishnah means over there? It doesn't mean Hagala. You're right, both of them need Libun. When it says Hagala, it means Marika and Shtifa, but you can't say that Hagala means with Chamin, and Marika and Shtifa is with Tzainin. So Elam Abai, rather Abai says, that no, when the Mishnah Sechlis Vachem says Hagala, it means literally Hagala, you have to take these vessels and heat up in hot water to emit the prohibited absorptions that might become nicer the next day from the vessel. Then the difficulty it was, but the contradiction of our Mishnah, which said it's not enough for a gully, you need to have libun, and that's why it's not difficult. Because you're right. Definitely the laws of kudshim and of absorbed taste of non-kosher food from a non-Jewish vessel, actually both of them require both libun and hagala to get rid of the emission that's inside. Besides, obviously, the halacha that's unique to kudshim of Marika and Shtifa, which that's just Exeris HaKasa, that's the command of the king of Hashem. But says Abaye, like the Pasuk says in Eve, Yagad olav reyoy, let his friend tell about him. In other words, that we learn that one Mishnah from the other one. Kudshim from our Mishnah, and our Mishnah from the Mishnah by in Zvachim from Kudshim, where Tana Hacha Libun in our Mishnah, it teaches it requires Libun, Buhadin Lagala. And yeah, it also requires to do it heating up in hot water, like it says over there. And Tana Hasam Hagala, there it says that you would need Hagala, but who had then Libun, and the same thing would be that it requires Libun. In other words, says Abaye that you actually need both procedures. Libun, heating up on the fire, and Hagala, heating it up in hot water. And that asked the Gemara, Amalei Rava, Rava asked Abaye, Hiyach, if that's the case, then Lesninu Lekula Bechada. And why didn't it say both required procedures by one of these two halachas, whether Kadshim or by our halacha in Masech Zavaydezara, and then say that one by the other one. In other words, both of them should have been said together. Libun and Hagala by one of them, either in our Mishnah or the Mishnah of Masechtas Kadshim. And then, then it should say, oh, and then you'll learn out one from the other one. Just like over there, you can't have one without the other. You need to have both Libun and Hagala. So too, we would say by the other one, it needs both. Why would it say one in our Masechta and the other one in that other halacha of Kadshim? Elam HaRavah, rather Rava gives a different interpretation. It says, Kadshim Hainu Tamayu, the reason why by Kadshim, it does not require, like we said in our Mishnah, Libun, it's because Rav Nachman and Rabbi Baravua. The Amad that he says, Kol Yoyim B'Yoyim, every single day when they would use these vessels in the Beis HaMikdash, Nasa Giyu L'Chaveroi, that itself would make would purge the absorption from the day before, because they would constantly cook with these vessels in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, it never allowed the previous day's emissions to become nicer until it already spit it out before it became into another vessel, into another food item, making an emissions. Which the Gemara is going to ask later on, but then why did it require the Ibn Hagala? If you're saying that Kachem is different, it doesn't require Libun, because when you cook the next day, it's not going to allow it to expire and become nicer, because every day, the next day, is cooking, is that purging it itself. In contrast, let's say where you leave it for a few days, then it's going to be for sure be nicer. So that's why it doesn't require Libun. So the Gemara is going to ask, why does it require Hagala? Now, but first the Gemara asks, Watenach Shlamim. What you're explaining makes sense regarding a carbon Shlamim. Why? Because different carbonas have different times, how long they're allowed to be eaten before they become nicer, which is the leftover, where then it expires already and it already has the Isser of nicer. The Kivin de Lishnei Yom Misachli, since a carbon Shlamim can be eaten for 2 days, so McMade in the Hava Nicer, so before it becomes nicer, because you made the carbon shlamim this day, and then the next day is still allowed to be eaten. So Kohava Gil, so therefore it's going to be purged when you cook with that same pot the next day, it's going to emit the absorptions it took in the previous day. So that's not nicer yet. And it already is out of the vessel. So when you're going to use it at any future time, you're not going to have the previous day's absorptions for a later day to become nicer over there. Elachatas, but carbon chatas, which are also cooked and eaten by the kahanim, kim deliyam b'yayil masachli. Since the carbon chatas can only eat me for 1 day and that night, so kimevash l'bohi in the chatas. When you're cooking it today, so that's a carbon chatas. Have a nicer the next day. That's already leftovers. Kihad mevash l'bohi l'machr. So the next day, when you can use the same pots and cook inside of it, oishlam machatas, whatever carbon it is, whether shlam machatas, kapalat nicer the chatas to eat. It's going to be emitting the leftover absorbed taste of the karmachatas from today, bechatas to shlam delamach, and the karmachatas shlam of the next day. What are you going to do over there? There it's going to be nicer. Why doesn't it require libun if it's not becoming giul lechaveri? Because it already was nicer before you use it the next day. Amr, they said, Lo Tzricha. No, the way the process would be done to avoid this problem of requiring Libun is because the Chimavashal Balchatas, if they would ever have to cook a Korban Chatas today, because the Kalam will eat the meat from a Korban Chatas that was that day, then they would go ahead and cook today, meaning this same day, a shlamim, a carbon shlamim. Let's say the thigh and the breast that were eaten by the kahanim. The chatas de la macher, v'shlamim de etmol. So therefore, when the next day they would cook a carbon chatas, and the shlamim from the previous day, which was the last thing cooked inside of it the previous day, bahadi hadode kar shalom zimnayu. They would both conclude their expiration dates at the same time. And therefore, there wouldn't be any emissions of Nicer because they're both going to end at the same time. Because they both could be on that same day. Because the Shlam could be not just its day, but the following day. Achat is only that one day. Now, the Vahad, the Mevash, the Shlam, the Mach, and then that next day, after the Karmachatas, that, yeah, gets the absorptions of the Shlam from the previous day, but that's okay because the Shlam didn't become nicer yet, and the Chatas is also only going to be eaten this day anyway. After they would cook their Chatas, then they would cook a Shlam, and right after that Chatas, in other words, every time they would cook a Korban Chatas, the meat inside the pot, they would cook a Korban Shlam right after, so that it never will be that those emissions will become nicer, because the Shlam could last for the following day, and then they'll cook something else in it, so it will already take out those blias, which will never become nicer, and that takes care of the problem. And that's why it doesn't require Liban. You're right. A spit and a griddle requires Liban. But here, regarding Kachim, it never becomes nice and then becomes a prohibited item to require a Hechsher, a Kashrus, like it does for a prohibited item, like it is by prohibited foods in Arm Yisechta, which requires Liban. If that's the case, then there shouldn't even require heating it up in hot water if he's saying that every day's cooking it gets rid of the blias from the previous day. So then why do we say that you have to do Hagala when you finish cooking it that day? And that's the Gemara Kasha. That is definitely a difficulty. Why would that be required? If we know why you don't need Liban, but you shouldn't even need Hagala. And that the Gemara doesn't answer that question. Another interpretation of Papa, he says that truthfully, that the Halacha is the same thing by our Masechta and Masechta Zvachim, that even by Kachim, it is going to be emitting an Isser. Where, for example, let's say you cooked a Korban Chatas the previous day and we didn't cook a Shlama afterwards. So the next day, we're going to use these pots. So there's prohibited emissions that of the Korban Chatas, which is nicer. So the question was, and then why didn't it require Liban like it says in our Mishnah? It was heated up on the spit itself, which is in hot, in fire. It should require fire, not just Hagala. And that's a Republic because it's not comparable. Hi, regarding the halach of Ar Mesechta, of the emissions of a non-Jew's food, since they're not cooking in that pot necessarily every moment, so kurid. So the emissions that get inside of it, they get very hard and get very entrenched, and it attaches itself in totality to the vessel. And so it's not so easy to remove the emissions with just heating them in hot water until you go ahead and heat up on the fire itself, which totally burns whatever's inside of it out. But regarding Kachim, where they're constantly using, in the base of Migdash, they were always cooking things, like Karad, it doesn't get so entrenched inside the vessel, and therefore it's very easy to emit it, and therefore it's enough to just do Hagala, heating in hot water, to get rid of those emissions. Another approach of Ashi, says, Lo'ilum k'damar mikar. Truthfully, we could say, like we said all the way in the beginning, that Hacha, over here by Kachim, heter bala, when it absorbed those emissions, so it was permitted then, it was just a regular carbon. And only later on when it emits that it's already by Nisr. Hacha Isurubal, in contrast by Armasech, we're talking about when it absorbed it in the prohibited state, non-kosher food. So therefore, there it requires the higher level of Liban. Now, or the Kashalach, but then the question that was asked on that interpretation was, but still, to be in the Kapalit, Isurub Kapalit, when it's emitting it, ultimately they shouldn't be any different because they're both emitting prohibited emissions. What's the difference? And that says Rav Ashi that no, it's still not as severe the prohibition of the nicer, because when it became nicer, when it became a prohibited item, but in the kapalit, when it's emitting it, then lo isali sur beine, the prohibition is not, it's not visible. It only became usser not when it was a piece of meat, because that was already eaten yesterday. It only became isser when the time expired for its limit, when it could be eaten, when it was absorptions in the vessel of a kli. So since it was never recognizable, the Isser, it's not such a severe Isser, it's not a Dove Be'en. So therefore, although we're going to say it's Asr, but it's not so severe, and therefore all it's going to require is Hagala, not Liban, like it says in our Masechta, we were talking about that it was an Isser even before it became absorbed in the vessel, of the walls of the vessel. Now continues the Gemara of Ad Kama Malabdan. Until how long does it take to utilize the process of liban, of heating up something on the fire itself, like a spit in a griddle. So Mermani says, Achat tashri klipas, until the outer peel peels off, that means it got really heated up. That shows that one fulfilled liban. And says the Gemara, Ketzin Magilin, how does one do Hagolah, which is heating up and kashering something of a lower level of kashas, which is in hot water, things like pots. So Rav Huni says, Yeriketano b'techir gedel, a small pot is put into a large pot, where they would fill up that large pot with hot water, which would fill up all the way, and the little small pot inside would be heated up with the hot water. On that, but a large pot, which is too large to put into a larger pot, what does one do over there? We understand the small one you put into the hot water and it bubbles all over it, so that will catch it. What do you do with a large pot? Says Ima Tashma, come in here, Dahududa, there was a certain cauldron, a large pot, the Havya Bay Ravakavya that was in the house of Ravakavya. A hadrele, what he did was, as we continue to Mid Bay, he put around it Gidanfa Delisha Puma. He put around it a wall, so to speak, of dough around the lip, a little bit on the outside of that top of the cauldron, so that it should really be able to have a lot of water go up, and then the hot water will bubble up over the edge. Because if you don't have a wall, so it's not going to be able to put in so much water. Here, it'll contain it a little bit so that it could go over the top of the pot. And he filled it up with water and bubbled, and it bubbled over. That's how one kashers a large pot. Now, Amar Ravi says, who's so intelligent to do like this was done? Ilav Rav Akavya, if not Rav Akavya. That the Gavar Rabbi, because he's a great person, is a big Talmid Chacham. Why? Because he held Keboiloi just like the top of the cauldron. How did it absorb the prohibited absorptions that are inside of it? Kach Poltli, that's how it's required to have it emit and purge it. Meaning, Ma Boile bin Etzait, so it's mean the outside of the vessel, so that wasn't used with hot. So what's inside, which is the non-kosher food. So what's inside, you fill up with hot water. But the top of the vessel, how does one kosher that? That's why he put up a wall of dough around the top to show you that Ma Boile bin Etzait, so is just like the only way the top of the vessel absorbed the prohibited emissions was only by when it was spraying. The hot food that was cooking inside would sometimes bubble over, but it was never put into another vessel when it was absorbing the iser. In contrast, something like a spoon or something that could be, it was used in hot water, it can sometimes be put into the hot vessel and could be all around, so you have to totally get it covered by the hot water. Here, large cauldron, it's not being put into another pot. The only way the top would become usser, the top of the vessel, the rim, is only if it sprays over. Av poltim and etzaitz is so too, that it also requires to be kashered with the sprayings of the hot water that's inside of it. Meaning, because although it wasn't put into another pot, but since sometimes it can be filled up very much water or whatever the non-kosher food that's cooked inside of it, it could spray over to the top. So therefore, it requires a rim, because if not, maybe at this time, it just, like they say, punked, it won't spray over the top. So you have to put up a wall that it really goes up, making sure that the sprays will get the top of the lip. In contrast, the fact that it became prohibited is because since it's cooked in it many times, even though it doesn't every time spray, but it definitely could have been at least one time that the non-kosher food sprayed to the top. So therefore, that's how it requires, by something like that, like a cauldron, to make an extra lip that it for sure will get over the top, and then everything that was ever in contact with the prohibited food becomes kosher. Now, the Mishnah said, Hasakin, a knife, Shafa, one scrapes it, Vitaira, and that will purify it. Now, Amra Vukva Bachama, according to Rashi, he says that Vinoyitza Asar Pambakarka, that even though one had done this Shafa of the Mishnah, which either means by scraping it against the stone of the smith, or it means that one will scrape it against a rough wool garment, which will remove the fattiness of it. Besides that, Rav Akiva Chama says it has to be stuck into the ground 10 times. So that will get out all the fatty residue that's on the edge of the knife. Now, Amar Avuna Bereder Bishu, he says, Ubekarkashay Navuda. Can't just be in the ground, it has to be ground that was never worked, never tilted. So it's condensed so that when one sticks in the knife, it's getting off whatever's on the surface of the knife. Now, Amrav Kahana, additionally, he says, Ubesakin Yafesh Eim Bagumas, has to be a good knife that doesn't have any nicks along the width of the thickness of the knife, because if not, then the fatty residue could be stuck in those holes, and then sticking in the knife is not going to be good enough. Then one would require a higher level of kashrus. Tanam Hoch is similar in the Brises. Sakan Yafish Emagumis, if it's a good knife that doesn't have any nicks, no Yitzhasar Parmakarka, then it could be stuck into the ground 10 times, and then one could use it with kosher. Now, Amr Vunibrid Yeshua, he qualifies this further. He says it's only Lechel B'tzainin. It's only if someone wants to use it for eating something cold. But to use it for something hot, then it's forbidden to cut with it until one does Haggala by heating it up in hot water in a Klirishan, and the vessel was heated up on the fire itself, as the Gemara says in Pesachim regarding Chametz on Pesach. As the Gemara concludes, Kiha de Mar Yehuda u Bati Bar Tuva, like the following incident with the master Yehuda and Bati Bar Tuvi. The Habayasvi Kamedish Ramalka, they were sitting in front of King Shapur, who's a non-Jewish king of the Persians. Aishulu Kamayu Asraigu, so they brought in front of them an Esrik, now Pasik Achel. So first the king cut a piece and ate it. Pasik Vahavli Labati Bartuvi, then he cut a piece and gave it to Bati Bartuvi. Hadr Datsa, then he went and he stuck the knife, Asar Zimni Ba'ara, 10 times in the ground. And Pasik Havli Lamar Yehuda, then he cut another piece and he gave it to the master Yehuda. So Amli Bati Bartuvi, so Bati Bartuvi said to King Shapur, Bahu Gav, and that person, meaning referring to himself, Labba Yisrael, who is not a Jew? Why by him did you go and you stick it in the ground? Because this is not kosher, your knife. And therefore, as we said before, the way of koshering it is by sticking the ground 10 times, and then it can be used for kosher food. So why by him did you do it, not by me? So Malaysa, King Shapur said to him, Mar Kimli Begave. Rabbi Yehuda, I recognize that he is someone that's a parish, he's from the Pharisees, he doesn't eat anything that's prohibited. But Umar, but the master, you, like Kimli Begave, I'm not so confident regarding you that you're so separate, that you're so stringent in conservative in the laws of the Torah, and therefore I wasn't so careful to go ahead and dip it in the ground 10 times. And Ikadami Amaleda, those who say actually more than that, he says, Itkermai Avada Taborta, recall please what you did last night. Because the ways of the Persians were that they would give women to the guests. And when the King Shapur sent the women the previous night, Bati took the women and reviewed it, didn't. And he said, don't play the game. We know, put the cards on the table. You're not as stringent as you're making yourself out to be. So for you, I just cut it and I gave you the piece. Whereas Mar Yehuda, I knew he is a meticulous with Jewish law. And therefore, I first stuck in the ground 10 times and then cut a piece and gave it to him. Hanulah Hasechas Apel, we shall return to you the fifth parak Mesechet Avodah Zarah, parak Hasechas Apel, Uslikala Mesechet Avodah Zarah. We have concluded Mesechet Avodah Zarah.